loved your daily dose of inspiration with your Morning Boost. Now, AWB Adventures brings you the complete picture. Welcome to AWB's Boost Bundle, where we've combined all the valuable insights from this week's episodes into one convenient listen. Your leadership deep dive starts now.
Welcome to your Morning Boost, your daily leadership advice to help you lead your school community. Brought to you by AWB Education and sponsored by Grundmeier Leader Services, where together we are transforming education, one leader at a time. Now here's your host, Adam Bush.
Good morning. Welcome to your Morning Boost, this podcast designed to give school leaders just like you the jumpstart you need for a productive and inspiring day. We're so glad you're joining us this morning and wishing you a truly happy day as we embark on a powerful and transformative week. This week, we're kicking off a deep dive into the incredibly impactful world of restorative practices in schools. We will explore what it truly means to shift from purely punitive discipline to an approach that fosters learning, empathy, and genuine accountability. You'll discover why this method is not only more equitable, but also significantly more effective in promoting positive student behavior and building a thriving school culture. So get ready to challenge some traditional notions of discipline and embrace a framework that truly believes in the power of learning from mistakes. All right, welcome back. So what exactly are restorative practices? At its core, restorative practice is a philosophy and a set of approaches that aim to build community, prevent harm, and resolve conflict by repairing relationships. It moves beyond simply punishing misbehavior to actively engaging all parties involved in understanding the harm caused, taking responsibility for actions, and collaboratively finding ways to make things right. Instead of asking what rule was broken and who broke it, restorative practices ask who has been harmed, what are their needs, and whose obligation is it to address those needs. This shift is incredibly important because, as we know, the adolescent brain is still developing, with the prefrontal cortex responsible for decision-making and impulse control not fully maturing until well into the mid-20s. Students make mistakes, and often. These are opportunities for profound learning rather than simply infractions that need to be punished. Research consistently supports the efficacy of restorative practices. For instance, a study by the International Institute for Restorative Practices, or the IIRP, has shown that schools implementing restorative practices experience significant reductions in suspensions. Also, they experience improved school climate and enhanced student-teacher relationships. This approach is also inherently more equitable, addressing disproportionate discipline rates by focusing on the underlying causes of behavior rather than just the outward symptom. It empowers students to take ownership of their actions and develop crucial social-emotional skills, which will lead to lasting behavioral change. This week, we're going to get very practical. Tomorrow, we'll tackle the common issue of a student caught vaping in the bathroom. On Wednesday, we're going to discuss how to handle a physical altercation where one student injures another. Thursday, it's going to bring us to the complexities of academic integrity with some AI-generated papers. And we'll wrap up the week on Friday with a scenario involving significant damage to school property. Each day, we're going to provide detailed step-by-step guidance on how to navigate these situations through a restorative lens, including how to involve parents and even empower students to lead crucial conversations. As we wrap up our introduction this week to restorative practices, remember that while this approach offers incredible benefits, it's crucial to consider your school's existing policies. Board policies, handbook guidelines, any other school documentation is always going to guide the possibilities within administrative flexibility. If your school doesn't already have a robust behavior management protocol that's rooted in restorative practices, this week might just inspire you to get out there and design one. The power of restorative practices lies in the ability to transform challenging moments into opportunities for growth, understanding, and stronger relationships within our school and our community. It's about seeing every mistake as a chance to teach, to connect, and to build a more just and supportive environment for all. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Monday. I look forward to our conversation this entire week, and we will begin that as we talk with you again tomorrow.
You have been listening to Your Morning Boost by AWB Education in partnership with Grundmeier Leader Services. You can find out more about our services by clicking on the links in the description. Remember, you are doing this vital job that only a few can do. So until next time, thank you for your service to your community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lisa Hill, a longtime educator of nearly 40 years as a teacher, counselor, professor, and vice principal, and I've seen just about everything public schools can throw at you. And now I'm sharing my tales on my comedy podcast, Vice Principal Unofficed. It's where school leadership meets laugh out loud stories, from underwear required parent teacher conferences, yes, really, to staff lounge confessions and more you won't believe. I'm telling it all with humor and a whole lot of heart. I also tackle the serious stuff too, like what schools really need to change and those behind the scenes moments no one talks about. So if you're ready to laugh, learn, and maybe even cry a little, but mostly laugh, join me and my 90-year-old mom, my unofficial co-host, on Vice Principal Unofficed. New episodes drop bi-weekly on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix. Trust me, this is one detention you'll actually look forward to.
Welcome to Your Morning Boost, your daily leadership advice to help you lead your school community. Brought to you by AWB Education and sponsored by Grundmeier Leader Services, where together we are transforming education, one leader at a time. Now here's your host, Adam Bush.
Welcome to Your Morning Boost and a super happy Tuesday to all you amazing school leaders out there. Yesterday, we got into what restorative practices are all about, why they're a big deal, and the research that shows that these really work. Today, we're diving headfirst into something that pops up way too often, and that is a student caught vaping in the bathroom. Instead of just handing out a punishment, how do we turn this into a real chance for learning and positive change? We are going to walk through a detailed, restorative way to handle it, focusing on understanding, taking responsibility, and preventing it from happening again. All right, welcome back. So picture this. A staff member catches a student using a vape in the school bathroom. That never happens, right? I mean, I'm old enough to remember the time where just before I entered a bathroom, I would try to guess which brand of cigarette I was going to find based on the smell. Oh, times have changed. But how we address this has changed too. Instead of that usual immediate suspension, let's think about a more restorative path. First off, you're going to want to make sure everyone's safe. Safely take the vape device and then have a calm private chat with the student. Focus on what happened, not just on judging them right away. For instance, you might say, hey, I saw you using this device in the bathroom. Can you tell me what happened from your side? When you're somewhere private, start that restorative conversation with some core questions. What happened? What were you thinking about at the time? What have you thought about since? Who do you think has been affected by what happened? It helps a student see the bigger picture, like how it impacts their health, the school environment, and maybe even the folks who clean the bathrooms or other students that are in the bathroom or needing a safe space. Then give them a chance to actually answer the question of what do you need to do to make things right? Lots of students generally don't know the health risks with vaping, so this is a crucial teaching moment that we can take advantage of. Get the student connected with resources, maybe your school nurse or counselor, for an honest talk about the dangers of vaping. You could share facts from reliable sources like the American Lung Association, which points out all of the nasty respiratory issues and how addictive nicotine and vapes can be. I've seen this personally in action. I remember a student who got caught vaping, and instead of just sending him home, I had to meet with our school nurse. The nurse explained the chemicals in vapes and the long-term health effects. This student actually admitted he thought it was harmless and that the conversation was a turning point for him. He ended up getting help to quit because he truly understood the risk to his health. Working together with the student to come up with a solid plan to fix things, this could mean that they join a school vaping education program or go to counseling sessions. Maybe they even help make an informational poster about vaping that we put up in the school or get involved in a peer education project. This gives them a sense of ownership and a chance to do something positive. A written reflection about what happened, showing that they get the harm caused and are committed to healthier choices, can be really good too. Now, the last part is to set up a meeting with the parents. This isn't just about reporting a rule broken in a punishing way. It's about getting them on board as partners in their child's learning and well-being. So share the student's perspective, the harm identified, the restorative plan that you and the student have come up with. And then here's the kicker. Have the student lead parts of this conversation themselves. You know, something like, "Mom and Dad, I want to explain what happened and what I'm doing to make it right." This really empowers the student and shows that they're owning their actions. We may just have to help with some sentence starters or some way to get the conversation moving. But have the student focus on common goals for their health and bring the parents into that conversation. So when it comes to a vaping incident like this one, taking that restorative approach shifts the focus from just giving a consequence to building a deeper understanding of the impact and empowering the student to genuinely fix things. It's about turning a slip-up into a powerful learning experience. Just remember, these kinds of conversations build trust and give students a way to learn from their mistakes instead of just sitting out of school. All right, that's it for Tuesday. Thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.
You have been listening to Your Morning Boost by AWB Education in partnership with Grundmeier Leader Services. You can find out more about our services by clicking on the links in the description. Remember, you are doing this vital job that only a few can do. So until next time, thank you for your service to your community. Welcome to Your Morning Boost, your daily leadership advice to help you lead your school community. Brought to you by AWB Education and sponsored by Grundmeier Leader Services, where together we are transforming education, one leader at a time. Now here's your host, Adam Bush.
Welcome back to Your Morning Boost, school leaders, and a warm, happy Wednesday to all of you. Yesterday, we dove into a restorative way to handle a student that was caught vaping. Today, we're facing a more in-your-face challenge. A student gets mad and hits another student on the playground, leaving them bleeding. This kind of thing leads to a quick, harsh punishment often. And how can we, as leaders, embrace restorative practices and turn this one into a chance for healing, taking responsibility, and truly learning about solving conflicts? All right, let's tackle this tough situation. During recess, two students, we'll call them Liam and Noah, they're playing a game. Liam gets totally frustrated and in a moment of anger shoves Noah, who falls and scrapes his knee badly enough to bleed. This never happens, right? Issues on the playground are almost a daily occurrence. Noah is understandably upset and crying. Here's how a restorative approach might play out in a scenario like this. First and foremost, of course, separate the students right away to make sure no one else gets hurt, both physically and emotionally. Take care of Noah's injury immediately. Give him first aid and comfort, and once both students are calm, we want to talk to them separately. Ask Liam, what happened? What were you feeling right before you pushed Noah? And ask Noah, how are you feeling right now? What do you need? After those first talks, have a separate private restorative conversation with Liam and Noah. With Liam, really focus on helping him grasp the impact of his actions. When you pushed Noah, he fell and got hurt. How do you think he feels right now? What kind of ripple effect did your actions have on Noah, on the game, and on the safety of the playground? Guide him to own his own choice and the harm that he caused, helping him work through the anger that led to the physical action by asking things like, what could you have done differently when you felt angry? Owning the fact that he was angry. With Noah, validate his feelings of hurt and anger. It's totally understandable that you're upset. What do you need to feel safe and better right now? Once both students are calm and have had a time to think on their own, and only if Noah feels safe and is willing, this could be an opportunity to bring them together with a trained facilitator, maybe a school counselor, an administrator, or a teacher who knows their way around restorative circles. The whole point of this restorative circle or conference is for Liam to hear directly from Noah about how his actions affected him, and for both of them to work together to figure out how to fix the harm. Things like this is where restorative practices can really shine. The point here, though, is only if Noah is prepared and safe and feels willing to do this. The facilitator in this case would guide the chat with questions like, Liam, what happened from your point of view? Noah, how did Liam's actions affect you? Liam, hearing what Noah just said, what thoughts come to mind? Noah, what do you need from Liam to feel better? or for things to be right? And Liam, what are you willing to do to make things right for Noah? This plan of attack of questions not only helps guide the conversation, but really gets to the feelings that each student had during this situation. The plan to fix things should be something they both agree on and should directly address the harm. This could mean a genuine spoken apology from Liam to Noah. Liam could also make amends by helping Noah, carry a backpack if that's what he wants to do, or assist with a classroom task. Maybe even just writing a reflective letter that acknowledges the harm and promises to resolve conflicts without violence. Both students, especially Liam, might really benefit from sessions with a counselor on managing anger, controlling impulses, and peaceful ways to solve problems. A clear plan for how they'll interact going forward, maybe starting with a little supervised play and gradually getting back to normal interactions, that might also be very important. Finally, talk with both sets of parents, of course, explaining what happened and the restorative practices that you've taken. For Noah's parents, highlight the support and care given to their child and the steps taken to fix the harm. For Liam's parents, explain how the school is guiding their child to take responsibility and learn from the experience. Make sure to point out the repair plan and how they can support it at home. In some cases, and with the students and parents' agreement, the student might even lead part of that conversation with their own parents, explaining the incident and the steps they are taking to make amends. That truly drives home that accountability. When a physical fight breaks out, it's not just about stopping the behavior. It's about understanding the feelings behind it, teaching empathy, and building skills for peaceful solutions. This restorative approach puts healing for the person harmed first, real accountability for the one who caused it, and a commitment to mending relationships within the school community. It's a powerful way to reinforce the message that every action has an impact and we're all responsible for making things right. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful Wednesday. A couple more scenarios that we will get into this week on restorative practices. I look forward to sharing those with you as we get through the rest of this week. But again, thank you for listening. We'll chat with you again tomorrow.
You have been listening to Your Morning Boost by AWB Education in partnership with Grundmeier Leader Services. You can find out more about our services by clicking on the links in the description. Remember, you are doing this vital job that only a few can do. So until next time, thank you for your service to your community.
Where is your kid headed after high school? We are From Carpool to College, two accomplished educators, college and career consultants, and parents who guide families through the entire journey, from freshman year planning to senior year success. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Morning Boost, your daily leadership advice to help you lead your school community. Brought to you by AWB Education and sponsored by Grundmeier Leader Services, where together we are transforming education, one leader at a time. Now here's your host, Adam Bush.
Welcome to Your Morning Boost and a very happy Thursday to our incredible school leaders. Yesterday, we tackled a physical fight with a restorative mindset. Today, we're shifting gears to a challenge that's popping up more and more in our digital world. A student using artificial intelligence to write an English paper. No citations, just completely copied and pasted. This isn't about plagiarism. It's about academic honesty and the whole point of learning. Let's explore how restorative practices can really get to the heart of this situation. So let's break down this scenario. Ms. Davis, an English teacher, suspects one of her students, Chloe, has used an AI tool to write her persuasive essay. The writing is perfect, but it just doesn't sound like Chloe, and there are no citations. After checking it out, it's clear the entire paper was made by AI. So here's a restorative way to deal with this academic honesty issue. Right away, we're going to need to talk to Chloe privately, and instead of accusing her, just share what you've noticed and your concerns. Chloe, I've seen some things in your essay that are different from your usual writing. Can you tell me about how you wrote this paper? Listen to her explanation without cutting her off. Let her explain. Once it's clear that AI was used without proper credit, shift the conversation to the harm caused. This harm isn't just one thing. It's a few different things. It harms Chloe herself because she missed a chance to learn and actually hurt her own academic growth. It harms the teacher because trust has been broken and it's harder to tell what Chloe has really learned. It harms her classmates because it creates an unfair advantage and cheapens the honest work put in by other students. And it also harms the learning community as a whole because it messes with the integrity of the academic environment. A really strong question to ask Chloe would be, when you decided to use AI like this, what impact do you think that has on my ability to trust your work or on your own learning? This is a crucial teachable moment. A lot of students might not fully get what it means to use AI this way or where the ethical lines are. This is our chance to educate Chloe on proper citations, how to be honest in research, and how AI is supposed to be a tool for learning, not a replacement for her own thoughts. Give clear examples of when AI can be used appropriately, like for brainstorming ideas, outlining, checking grammar, versus when it's not okay. Emphasize how valuable her own voice and critical thinking is. Now, there's a lot of research out on this topic, and it shows that a restorative approach when combined with teaching can really help students understand the academic honesty issues and encourage personal growth and building skills. Working together to come up with a plan to make things right and stop it from happening again, that is our goal. This could mean Chloe might have to rewrite the paper, showing genuine effort and understanding of the topic, and then following all the rules for academic honesty. Maybe it'll be on a new topic or a slightly different assignment just to help make sure it's her original work. She might also need to attend a workshop or complete a module on academic integrity, ethical AI use, and proper research methods. To rebuild trust, Chloe should maybe even agree to meet with Ms. Davis regularly to talk about her writing process for future assignments, showing she's being open and willing to learn. Maybe she could even give a presentation to the class if she feels up to that about ethical AI use, because certainly there is a lot of students that can learn from that. Finally, we're going to get to Chloe's parents. We need to tell them about what happened and, again, our restorative plan. Frame it again as a learning opportunity, not just a disciplinary action. In this case, having Chloe lead parts of the conversation with her parents is going to be really effective. Things like mom or dad, I want to tell you about a mistake I made with my English paper and what Ms. Davis and I have decided and what I need to do to fix it. It really empowers Chloe to take ownership and show that she's growing in responsibility. Dealing with AI plagiarism through a restorative lens isn't about letting students off the hook. It's about holding them accountable in a way that builds integrity, critical thinking, and a deep respect for learning. It turns a disciplinary problem into a powerful lesson in ethics and personal responsibility, giving students the tools to navigate the ever-changing academic world with honesty. Thank you for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this week so far. We have one more lesson again tomorrow as we wrap up this week on restorative practices. But like I said, thank you for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.
You have been listening to Your Morning Boost by AWB Education in partnership with Grundmeier Leader Services. You can find out more about our services by clicking on the links in the description. Remember, you are doing this vital job that only a few can do. So until next time, thank you for your service to your community. Welcome to Your Morning Boost, your daily leadership advice to help you lead your school community. Brought to you by AWB Education and sponsored by Grundmeier Leader Services, where together we are transforming education, one leader at a time. Now here's your host, Adam Bush.
Good morning, school leaders, and a very happy Friday to all of you. We've had such a profound week exploring restorative practices from vaping to playground altercations and academic honesty. Today, we're going to wrap up our series with a scenario that, while maybe not as dramatic, can be just as frustrating. This is a student makes a huge mess in the bathroom, enough to shut it down for cleaning or maybe even repairs, and a teacher walks in right as it's happening. How do we use our restorative approach here? Let's talk about that. So let's set the scene for our final scenario this week. A teacher walks into the school bathroom and finds it just trashed. Paper towels everywhere, water all over the floor, just a general mess that looks intentional. The bathroom is going to need to be closed for cleanup. A student, let's call him Sam, is still in there looking a bit sheepish because he's been caught. Now, here's a restorative way to handle this. We're going to start right away with checking how bad the mess is and make sure that there are no immediate dangers or maybe even something that could be considered vandalism. Then calmly approach Sam and say, "Sam, I see quite a mess here. Can you tell me what happened?" Keep it factual and avoid sounding accusatory. After Sam gives his side, or if he's holding back a little bit, just gently try to understand why. Sometimes things seem senseless. They come from frustration, boredom, or maybe even a cry for attention. Now, Sam, what led to this mess? What were you feeling when this happened? This is where the restorative process really kicks in. We're going to try to help Sam understand the widespread impact of his actions. This impacts the school community because other students now can't use this bathroom. It causes a real headache. It means extra, often unpleasant work for the custodial staff, too. It also costs the school time and resources for cleanup. You might ask Sam, when this bathroom is out of commission, who does that affect? What impact does this have on our custodians? What about the school's budget? Now, when we talk about the plan to fix things here, to restore, it could directly relate to the harm caused. Most impactful way for Sam to make amends here is for him to help clean the mess himself with supervision, of course. This is direct accountability. Hey, Sam, since you're involved in creating this mess, it's important that you're part of making it right. We're going to work together to clean this up. This provides a tangible consequence and teacher's responsibility. Also, a genuine apology to the custodial staff can be incredibly powerful. Just imagine Sam having to look the custodian in the eye and say, "I'm sorry for the extra work I caused you today." Reinforce the school's expectations about respecting property and using the bathroom properly. This might mean reviewing parts of the student handbook with Sam, too. At the end, talk with Sam about what he can do differently next time that he feels like acting out or is bored or whatever that reason was that Sam decided to trash the bathroom today. You know, Sam, what could you do instead if you're feeling frustrated or bored in the future? That could be a line we could talk about with Sam. Now, of course, like all of these, we need to get in touch with Sam's parents to let them know about what happened, and importantly, again, the restorative steps we're taking. Highlight Sam's participation in the cleanup and the talks about taking responsibility and respecting school property. You could say, "Sam took responsibility for the mess, and we had him help with the cleanup as part of making things right. We also discussed the impact his actions had on the entire school community." This communication ensures that home and school are on the same page when it comes to encouraging responsible behavior. And of course, know your students. If you think parents might be upset about this, maybe getting permission for Sam to be part of the cleanup ahead of time is a wise choice here. Again, knowing your students, knowing your parents, that's going to help guide you on that journey. Okay, as we wrap up our restorative practices series this week, this last scenario reminds us that even smaller disruptions can be huge learning opportunities. By getting students involved in understanding how their actions affect others and actively participating in fixing things, we build a culture of responsibility, respect, and community. This week has truly shown what a restorative approach, while it takes some thoughtful effort, can lead to a far deeper and more lasting positive change than just traditional punishments alone. Thank you for listening. I hope you've had a wonderful week. I hope this has been beneficial for you. If you're looking for some more information on restorative practices, there is a ton of stuff out there. Just do a little bit of research, do a little bit of Googling, and have an open mind as you go into those conversations and go into a little bit of change. If you're looking for something specific, reach out to us at AWB Education. We're happy to get you hooked up with someone that can really help you lead your school. Other than that, have a wonderful end of your week. Have an even better weekend. Thank you for listening. We will talk with you again next week.
You have been listening to Your Morning Boost by AWB Education in partnership with Grundmeier Leader Services. You can find out more about our services by clicking on the links in the description. Remember, you are doing this vital job that only a few can do. So until next time, thank you for your service to your community.
Thank you for tuning into AWB's Boost Bundle. We trust this collection of your Morning Boost episodes has given you a powerful end to your week. For more daily inspiration and actionable advice, be sure to subscribe to your Morning Boost wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next week for more ways to amplify your leadership.